Energy Stew with Peter Roth, Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. Do you know that we all walk around with our colors showing? We actually have unique colors and different, perhaps even different combinations of colors. And there are some people who actually are able to see them. And what do they mean? Why are we doing that? What are we exposing of ourselves? And to help us understand our colors is the author of a book called Life Colors: What the Colors in Your Aura Reveal. She also has a book called Love Colors. Uh-huh. Sounds good. So I want to introduce our guest, the author of these books, Pamela Ousley. Pamela, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's really nice chatting with you.
Well, I'm glad you could join us because I'm fascinated. I loved your book, Life Colors. I haven't read Love Colors yet. And I think there's a lot of that in Life Colors, too, about how our colors work with other colors. And
yeah.
And who, you know, what who are we really? there are a lot of tools out there. I'm a big proponent and analyst of the human design system, which has to do with how we're, what mechanics of personality we're born into and can't escape, actually. We just can do a better job at being ourselves. Do these colors around us that we emanate, do they change in our lives?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, just so people know what we're talking about, you exactly said it. I feel like we're broadcasting who we are all the time. We have this energy field that radiates from us, and we've all felt it. That's why we can be attracted to some people and other people we don't even want to be around because we don't like their energy. So we're actually feeling this energy field.
Right, and when we say it's chemistry, it might not be chemistry, it might just be color.
Yeah, it's the energy field, what science is calling the electromagnetic field, and other people call it auras, you know, whatever name you want to put to it. We're actually broadcasting, we're sending out signals of who we really are. And in my experience of being able to see and sense these energetic fields, these auras, for like 28 years now, what I've noticed is there's lots of different colored bands around people, and some of them emanate out like 6 feet. And the one or two colors of bands closest to the person's body are the life colors. Those are the personality colors. Those are the colors that reveal what you've chosen to be in this lifetime, your life purpose, the careers that are going to be the most fulfilling, how you're going to be in relationships, even potential health issues.
It's amazing that there's so much information about, and how did you derive all of this detail about, once you saw these colors, you know, here we are. Oh, I see green or blue or red or even tan. And then how do you know what they mean?
Well, that's a good question, too. And I want people to know, too, it's the outer bands in the aura that change all the time. Could you ask that question? The ones in the outer bands change all the time. So if somebody's angry, red shows up in the outer band. If they're unhappy or they're working on money, a lot of green shows up in the aura. So the way I derived them is, first of all, I met a woman, Dr. Barbara Bowers, who could see these auras, and she'd seen them her entire life. Ever since she was a child, she thought everyone could. So I studied with her, and I had already been practiced. I had already been a professional psychic. So I was picking up information, and that's basically just advanced intuition, right?
Well, I don't know if you know it, but I am a professional intuitive.
I totally believe that because you have so much violet in your aura. And that's a common thing for blues and violets. We're the most psychic of all the aura colors. We just see things and know things.
Mm-hmm.
So what she started describing about the aura colors that she was seeing fit with what I was picking up psychically about people. And I went, oh, that's a violet, or that's an indigo. I get it. Okay, I see the common traits here. So within a year of meeting her, I started developing the ability to see these colors myself, to see the auras myself. And first it just started out as a white color around people, and then I slowly was able to start distinguishing the different colors.
That's wonderful. It's very hard to develop clairvoyance. I've been teaching intuition for many, many years, and it's much easier to teach clairaudience than clairvoyance.
Really? Ooh, you and I have to chat about that sometime. I'd love to hear about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, anyway, so I find that when people understand their colors and I can talk to you this way because you're a psychic, you're a clairvoyant, you read things. I believe that before we came to the planet, we had a theme that we were choosing, a plan, some things that we wanted to experience here.
And I've also, by the way, have done radio shows about not only about past lives, but about life between lifetimes.
Awesome.
When we're out there actually learning about what we still need to learn and then choosing it in the next life.
See, that totally fits with what I was getting to, Peter. I love this. So I feel like people have chosen a certain theme, and what we've done, I believe, is we've left breadcrumbs behind just in case we got here and went, what am I doing here? So astrology and numerology and iridology and aura colors and palmistry, they're all clues. Just in case we forgot, we can look at those things and go, oh, yeah, that is me. That is what I wanted to do this time.
Right, and all of these tools match.
Yes.
They have their own language, but they reflect all the languages of the other tools.
Absolutely. I'm glad you know that. I totally see the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I want people to know, I don't do this to limit people or put them in a box or classify them and say, no, you're a blue, you have to, I do this to help people validate who they are and feel real about, oh my gosh, no wonder I've always felt that way, or no wonder I've thought that way since I was a child. It gives people permission to be who they really are. And then
exactly.
Once we're doing that individually, we can allow and accept other people to be who they really are.
I always say that also about human design, is that once you understand the uniqueness that we're born into, who we're here to be, because you're not imposing anything new on anyone, you're just, as you say, validating them. And then also they understand why they're different from anyone else. And then they can appreciate everyone else for being who they need to be.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Totally agree with that.
And by the way, so everybody knows, and you can be more involved in the show, is that you can actually take a test and answer the questions that will reveal which colors you have. And that I found that fantastic. I mean, it was no surprise that I'm a violet with yellow and indigo.
Yes, absolutely. So people can, and it's free. People can go actually four different places. They can go to my online site. I have auracolors.com, auracolors.com. It's totally free. People can go on there, take the little quiz, find out what their colors are, read about them. Or, Peter, they can go to my brand new dating site or a friendship site, too. And that's free. They can take it there. And then I'm helping people meet other people who have compatible aura colors with them if they want to have friendships or dating or find love. Don't you feel like that's a much more, it's a shortcut. It's like you can find out, oh, somebody's a red or somebody's a magenta. You can go watch the video on that and go, oh, I see what they're like before you even start talking with someone.
Yeah, I guess you found out in your work how much people want to know about these things to help them with relationships.
Yes, because first, I think in any healthy relationship, Peter, people have to know who they are first and be authentic, so they're not just trying to pretend to be someone so that someone will like them or be the way their parents or, society says they can be. They can go find out who they really are, live authentic, and then find someone else who's authentic and have a real healthy relationship with that person.
Yeah. And there are some colors that aren't as easy in relationships as others.
That's exactly right. So I believe with enough love and commitment, any two people can make a good relationship. But what I've noticed is there are certain colors, just like what you said. So, for example, a yellow and a green. They could make it if they find, ways to allow each other to be who they really are. But it's really tough for those two to kind of get a good start, because greens are basically the type A workaholics on the planet. They're driven to accomplish, they're driven to make money, they're workaholics, and so we've got like Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Barbara Walters, they're all greens. Even David Letterman is a green-yellow, which is an inner conflict, so that's interesting. And then you yellows are the fun-loving, humorous, playful, joking around. You know, yellows, I mean, violets want money and greens want money. Yellows don't care that much about money. They want to be creative. They want to be playful. They want to help people. They don't take life too seriously. And they're not always that driven to make a lot of money. And that can infuriate a green.
But that's interesting, though, what you said about David Letterman being a green-yellow. Because if yellows are, you know, that's why Letterman holds his audience, because he is so much fun on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And yet he wouldn't be in that position if he wasn't so serious about his career.
That's right. That's right. And even Lucille Ball was a green-yellow. I mean, they are comedians, but greens are really sharp. They're really smart, but they can be workaholics. And oddly enough, a lot of greens end up with heart problems. So you see people like David Letterman, Barbara Walters, Dick Cheney. They're all greens, and they all ended up with heart problems. It's a common theme for them. You yellows usually do things like back legs and knees.
Uh-huh. Well, that's that's true. And what about violets?
Violets, you mean, well, violets are the visionaries on the planet. You violets, ever since you were little, knew that there was something unique about you and that you were supposed to do something much bigger, way outside the box. Violets are not typically 9-to-5 workers. They need to do their own projects. Violets are here to reach the masses. They want to improve the quality of life on the planet. They want to educate the masses. You guys want to open the consciousness up. You guys are spiritual teachers and leaders, or a lot of violets are drawn to the media or performing.
Right.
or even politics, law, and causes. Violets have to make a big difference here. So when violets are in power, you guys are like visionary, you know, dynamic. Wow, Oprah's a violet yellow, Bono's a violet yellow, George Clooney is a violet yellow, the Beatles were all violet yellows. They're big personalities. And if violets are in power, you guys are like rocket ships. You guys can get things happening by synchronicity and magic and coincidence, or just by this charisma, you get followers. When violets are out of power, meaning they're living the downside, they're not living their full potential, they're living the negative side or the downside of that aura color, violets get very scattered, and there's either like 20 things they want to do and they don't know which way to go next, or I've seen also some violets get very frustrated with humanity and dictatorial and bossy and frustrated and impatient. So that's a violet out of power, though. In power, my gosh, you violets have vision, and your old violets are old souls. So violets just know things. They don't know why they know it. They just know it. They see it. And most violets have ever since they were young.
Now, what about physical ailments that violets?
Well, you know, the tricky thing with violets is you guys can get so scattered that it's kind of the shotgun effect. Two of the places I've seen violets have common problems are, first of all, the eyesight, because violets can see so far ahead of everybody else, and they think it's just common sense. A lot of violets are raised to think that's not okay, so they start damaging their eyesight so they fit in with everybody else and start going, no, I can't see that far. Look, I'm putting glasses on. I can't see that far.
Wow.
Or violets will do things with the throat area, because violets are communicators. They need to express themselves, and if violets hold that back, if they choke it back and swallow it, they end up with thyroid problems or vocal problems or throat cancer. Otherwise, it's like I said, a shotgun effect. Violets can get stomach or back, you know, it can be anywhere with a violet.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm able to talk on the radio. That saves my throat.
Yes. Violets have to share their vision. And a funny thing about you violets, though, is people, you guys see so far ahead. Of it. You just go, well, of course, can't people see this? And a lot of people are like, what? What are you talking about? I don't get it, because they just don't see that far.
Right. And it's very intuitive.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
And so, see, I'm a violet with yellow and indigo, not as strong as a violet, but close to it, and that means something too.
Yes, I love it, Peter. A lot of you violets. Here's the deal. This is a violet age right now. Violets are in their power time right now, and the violet age actually started in the mid-60s, but it wasn't empowered yet, so people didn't like violets back then. They were getting rid of them, like John and Robert.
I was strange.
Yeah, John and Robert.
I didn't fit in.
That's it. That's a violet. So the hippies, the Beatles, the peace movement, that's all violet energy. Violets in the 60s, like John and Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, a lot of violets. I have a dream, I have a vision, and some of the other colors were like, oh, no, you don't, not on our planet, and they got rid of them.
Right.
Well, now they're not killing violets. Now people are listening to violets, so Spielberg and George Lucas and Oprah and Gorbachev and Nelson Mandela, Maya Angelou, violets can speak their truth now, and they're not being killed. So violets are in their power right now, and you guys are so far ahead of your time. What we're moving into very soon is the indigo age. We've already started that transition, and violets, since they're so ahead of their time, tend to take on the qualities now of indigos. So indigos are very spiritually advanced. Violets are here to help save the planet and shift the consciousness. Indigos are the ones that are showing us how to live with that new consciousness. And so indigos can appear very androgynous. It's hard to tell if they're male, female, gay or straight, because they're supposed to be teaching us how love is about soul to soul. It doesn't matter a person's ethnicity, their sex, their religious tech, it's all soul to soul. Michael Jackson was an indigo.
Okay, so, but let's call it also, indigo might be very yin, but...
Yes, it can. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Indigos are so beautiful. They almost don't look like they fit in here. They can be very, wow, just beautiful. You can look at an indigo's eyes and feel like they're from someplace else.
Well, I guess I'm feeling more grounded that I'm not, the strongest color is not an indigo.
Right.
The strongest color is violet, have some indigo in me.
That's right. Because violets are taking on those higher, indigos are very spiritual. They're so advanced spiritually. They can talk to animals, they can talk to nature, they can talk to trees.
I'm talking to my microphone.
See, there's your yellow sense of humor. Yeah, so a lot of people don't get indigos, and a lot of indigos right now are being diagnosed as autistic because indigos will only speak when they're ready to speak, and so people think indigos are very bizarre.
Interesting. Wow, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And also a lot of ADD, ADHD people.
Yes, well, and a lot of you yellows get accused of being ADD, too. Yellows have short attention span. They don't like sitting still.
Right. I can understand that it's also a strong yellow.
Yes.
Now, one thing I noticed, and it was very interesting to me to see that not only is there tan, but there are four tans.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Well, tans are the logical, practical, analytical. They're engineers and accountants and bookkeepers and computer operators. They like handling the details. And there's different nuances. So there's a straight logical tan, which I just described. Then there's like a sensitive tan. They're kind of a combination between a tan and a blue because they have both colors in them. And blues are very loving and nurturing and intuitive. And they're rescuers. Blues tend to be teachers, counselors, and nurses. So a sensitive tan is kind of the combination between very practical and logical, and they think about stuff and they take care of the details, but they also have a touch of that intuition. The woman that put in Murder, She Wrote, Jessica Tandy, she played a sensitive tan. You know, logical, looked at the data and the facts and everything, but she still had that little bit touch of intuition.
Uh-huh.
And then environmental tans. Clint Eastwood's an environmental tan. And then we've got abstract tans, which are very tan. They like to take care of the details, too, but they get very scattered. So instead of doing step one, step two, step three, like most tans do, they go 3, 7, 1, 10, but still the details, but they're not in any order.
That's out of the box.
Yes.
And us violets can be out of the box.
Absolutely.
And yellows can be out of the box.
yellows are just big kids.
Right. And indigos are certainly out of the box.
Yes. And lavenders. Lavenders are out of the box. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, people really, that's what I like about this validation, because it not only lets you know that, okay, you might be an out-of-the-box person and beating yourself up a lot because you might be a bit scattered or, you know, not as linear as other people, and yet what's the positive nature of that? And what I love about the book is that you go into so many aspects of who we are in these colors that show us to really show us how to enjoy being ourselves.
Yes, I love that. And there's even help in there for people raising children. So instead of trying to raise your children the way that you were raised or the way you think they should be, you can actually see who they really are and encourage and support their specific personality and their traits and their purpose for being here so that you don't try to squish them or push them in a box where they don't belong.
It might not be that easy, though, for someone to define the colors of their children, because this is about taking a test.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing yourself well enough to actually answer the questions.
Right. Well, what's good about it, especially if they get my books, Life Colors or Love Colors, once, especially you Violets, you're such quick learners, once somebody really reads about the different aura colors, it's amazing how when people are reading it, they go, oh, my gosh, my husband's a red, or, oh, my gosh, my child is such a lavender. Everything that they're exhibiting is lavender qualities. Oh, that makes so much more sense, because they don't have to take the test. But they still recognize right. The descriptions.
Right. This is very helpful. And also, you probably do readings, color readings for people, even over the phone.
I do. And I have my own radio show, too. So people can go to my website and get my phone number, and I do private sessions. And, of course, I go well beyond just telling them their aura colors. I can help them with their career direction and their relationships. And even, you know, do I have love coming in my life? It's like, yeah, I can take a look at that and see what's going on. Because I am just like you, Peter. I am a professional psychic and clairvoyant and clairaudient and clairsentient and sentient, all of those things. So, yeah.
Right.
You and I have the same goal. We really want to encourage, inspire, enlighten, help people be happy and be who they really are, right?
Sure. And isn't it fun as an intuitive to live in the magic?
It so is. I love that you said that word. That's one of my favorite words.
Uh-huh.
That's like, I like Einstein where he says, I want to know the thoughts of God. Everything else is just details. I love going to that higher level of consciousness where everything then becomes magic and synchronicity. And, you know, it's like, it's so much more fun there.
Yeah, and you know, it's fascinating. It's a little digression here to talk about intuition, but it's when, you know, I have people, I'm on the phone with people, or they come in, and I know nothing about them, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the stories of their lives just gets fed into me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there fascinated by what I'm hearing about them, and it's just, you know, there's something about that, you know, that life is so much grander than we can imagine.
I know. That's what's so exciting. It's amazing to me. I know all of us can get really small and focused on a problem or struggling with something, but just what you said, when you see how big and how grand life is and who we really are, I don't know. I don't know how anybody could get bored or, you know, unhappy for too long when you think about the grandness of who we are.
Right. And so that's what's so much fun about your book and the work you're doing with colors is that it colors it up.
Yeah. We want people to live their true colors, right?
Right. You are bringing more magic into our lives by introducing this opportunity to live in our colors and to exalt in our colors.
Right. And you know what, Peter, you know what? I believe that people, all of us have this sense, all of us have feelings of something and it happens. I think a lot of people don't pay attention to that or they just think it's coincidence. But you know what I've discovered? We've been using these colors in our language for centuries. So obviously somehow people back when were seeing or sensing these auras, we have red with rage and red with anger and red with passion. That's totally a red personality. We've got true blue, and I'm feeling blue today. That's a blue personality.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the happy face yellows, or, you know, you chicken yellowed, you know, scaredy cat, and we've got the violet royal robes, because you violets are royalty. You're the leaders and teachers here. We've got green with envy and green money. We've been using these colors in our language forever.
Yet why is the heart chakra then green?
Well, you know what? The chakras seem to be a little bit different, but what I've also noticed is, like, greens, if a green or a color has a problem, it usually shows up in the heart chakra area, which is green. If a blue has a problem, blues end up choking back a lot of hurt and tears, too, so they end up with a lot of throat problems, which is the throat, the blue is the throat chakra, right?
Right.
Violets come from the third eye chakra, and is that the violet chakra, is the violet? The eye, third eye?
Right.
Yeah. So there is a connection.
Well, there's actually, it's indigo, right? And violet is the crown chakra.
Oh, is it? Okay, I guess those two make sense.
Because what I do is I always skip chakras and combine the colors in the middle one.
Oh, okay.
So the blue, is the throat and violet is the crown. So the middle is a combination of the two.
Well, violets need to have their crown chakra open so they can be able to get higher information. And the yellows are very creative beings. And is that the color of the creative center, is yellow or not? Is that power center? I don't know the chakras well enough. Somehow there's a connection, but they are different.
Yellow would be the third chakra, which is emotions, because red is the root chakra.
Right.
And orange is the sex chakra and the sacral chakra.
Uh-huh.
And see, so if you mix yellow and red, then you get orange in the middle.
I get it. Well, reds are very grounded and physical. The red aura colors here on the planet, they're uh-huh. very much about physical reality and sex and power and, you know, eating and drinking. And it's very much about being an animal here. So the red
right.
chakra does connect with the red personality.
Right. And I saw in your book that violets and reds have a struggle meeting to each other, finding the middle ground.
Well, because they can both be strong-willed, but reds are not typically very spiritual. It's all they believe in what they can feel and touch and
right.
and eat and taste and all that, but they're not typically spiritual. If they are, it's more about singing and dancing and moving the, you know, building the church. It's not about some etheric spiritual essence.
So it might be fun for a violet to be around a red, but not be in partnership with the red.
Well, they can be challenging. If they can really support each other, boy, the passion that can happen between a violet and a red, because they're both very passionate colors. So they can experience that. And if a violet has a vision and the red has the stamina and the physical prowess to take care of it, to build it or to build that dream for a violet, then they can be compatible.
And you did say in the book that violets also have strong sexuality.
Yes, they do. They're usually very passionate. Yeah,
I go along with that.
when violets are making love, they tend to get very cosmic. They go places. They get very deep and profound. Reds, it's just more of a lust.
Yeah, interesting. And then, you know, so there's so many colors to be aware of. And, you know, it's not just, you know, the primary colors here. This is fantastic because you really cover not only that, but it's the combination of different colors, too.
Uh-huh.
Because you said,
and then added colors in your outer band, like you've added indigo, learning about that. It just, to me, it helps people navigate life and understand. I mean, become fulfilled. Because if someone's a violet, I've seen this so much, Peter, at least you're doing your violet purpose. A lot of violets were not raised to think it's okay to be a violet because they get accused of being unrealistic dreamers.
Yeah,
the violets think they're supposed to be tans and do practical jobs and get a paycheck and live in the box, and they're so
right.
unhappy in there.
Right. It was a struggle earlier in my life to be a violet, I can tell
mm-hmm.
you that for sure. This has been so much fun, and we're getting close to the end of the show. And let's go over again how people can reach you.
Okay. They can go to my website. It's either auracolors.com, auracolors.com. Or they can go to lovecolors.com. And contact information is in both of those.
This is amazing work you're doing. And I'm so fascinated by you because not only is this extremely smart, but it comes from total experience and living in your awareness of color and seeing color and helping others with it. It's wonderful, the work you're doing.
Well, thank you, Peter. And I've got yellow in my aura, too, so I want it to be fun for people, not scary. I want it to be fun.
Well, you've made the show a lot of fun.
Yay!
So it's so great talking with you. And hopefully we can talk again sometime, too, because it's really great to add color to our lives, or not add color, recognize the color in our lives.
That's great. Peter, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate what you're doing on the planet and reaching the masses and opening them up.
Okay. And I'm encouraging people to buy Life Colors and Love Colors, both books.
Thank you, Peter.
Sure. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew with ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Heartriver.org is my website. It's part of the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing. And I can also be reached at 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.